18. John chapter 18. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture this morning, starting at verse 28. John 18, verse 28. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. John 18, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things... I'm sorry, I got the wrong scripture myself here. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor or a criminal, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. That's an affirmation. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Skip down to chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And in verse 16, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Father, we're glad for this privilege to stand before this congregation in the name of Jesus and declare the truths of your word. And I ask you to help us this morning and give us the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you'd bless those who've come here. I pray that their coming would not be in vain, that they would have a meeting with God this morning. Lord, you'd change lives, give direction to lives, encourage discouraged hearts. And may we all see the glory of the Son of God and believe and trust in him with all of our heart. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on conflicted about Christ. Many people are like Pilate. They're weighing their options about Jesus. And that's what we see about Pilate in this passage of Scripture. Pilate is weighing his options about Christ. He has been given the responsibility of passing judgment on the Son of God. The Jews brought him to Pilate because they had no authority to put Jesus to death. And they were determined to put Jesus to death. And so they brought him to Pilate, who had the power, who had the authority. From Rome, he could sentence Jesus to death. So now Jesus is on Pilate's hands. And Pilate must render a judgment about the Son of God. And I'd like to say to everybody here in this service this morning that all of you have got to render a verdict about Jesus. Everybody has got to pass judgment on the Son of God. And here is Pilate, conflicted about Christ. He understands that Jesus is an innocent man. I read to you three times that Pilate came out before the mob and declared, "I find no fault in him." He understood very clearly that Jesus was an innocent man and was willing to say that three times before this multitude. Pilate, as a judge, understood what his duty was. He had an innocent man on his hands. It was his duty to turn him loose. And now he is conflicted about what to do with Jesus, this innocent man that's on his hands. Pilate wants to get rid of the responsibility. And so he tells the Jews, "Take him and you judge him." He wants to put off his responsibility onto someone else. Our text here does not tell us this, but other the gospel writers tell us that Pilate sent him to Herod, hoping that he could avoid the responsibility of passing judgment on Jesus. He sent him to Herod. But Herod sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate had to make a decision about Jesus. He's conflicted between his conscience and the crowd. His conscience says this man is an innocent man. His wife has sent word to him and said to him, "Don't have anything to do with this just man. I'm troubled over a dream that I had about this man. Have nothing to do with this just man." And so Pilate's conscience is troubling him. He knows that Jesus is a just man. He's been warned by his wife's dream. He knows his conscience is declaring that Jesus is an innocent man. And he's conflicted between his conscience and the crowd. The crowd is crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate is seeking to get rid of his responsibility. I want you to understand that when we stand before the judgment bar of God, everybody's going to give an account for this one thing. What did you do with Jesus, the Son of God? Oh, my! This is a responsibility that we cannot get off of our hands. Pilate sought to wash his hands of that responsibility, brought out a pail of water and washed his hands before that crowd. But he could never get the blood of Jesus off of his hands with water. Pilate is responsible for the decision that he made about Jesus Christ. And everybody is going to give an account to God for the decision that you make about Jesus, the Son of God. The issue that's driving this crowd is the fact that Jesus declared that he was the Son of God. When he stood before the Jewish authorities, the high priest, after seeking false witnesses against Christ, finally cut to the quick and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Highest, or the Son of God?" And Jesus answered in the affirmative that he was the Son of God. The high priest said, "What need we any further witnesses? And we've heard out of his own mouth the blasphemy that he has spoken. He said he was the Son of God. He's worthy of death. This was what was driving the crowd. The identity of Jesus as the Son of God. The fact that Jesus declared himself to be deity. The fact that Jesus made himself equal with the Father. This is what was driving the rage of the crowd. Crucify him! Crucify him! He's blasphemed. He said he was the Son of God. Isn't it amazing that even among the holiness people, there's a denial of this very truth that brought Jesus to the cross. Denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Brother, I'm telling you, this is what drove the crowd, was the declaration of Jesus of his deity, that he was the Son of God, making himself equal with the Father. It drove this crowd to cry for his crucifixion. Crucify him! Crucify him! He has blasphemed. And now then, Pilate is torn between his conscience and the crowd. And brother, there are people no doubt in this assembly right here this morning that you are torn between the very things that Pilate was torn between. You're torn between your conscience and the crowd. You're torn between what your conscience tells you is right, what you know you ought to do, and what the world is inviting you to do. You're torn between your conscience and the crowd. But, oh my, Pilate understood that it was a weighty decision that he was about to make. And he understood the consequences if he made the right decision. The crowd was saying to him, if you turn this man loose, then you are not Caesar's friend. And Pilate already had been in trouble with the Jewish people and was afraid that if the Jews reported him to Caesar, that he would wind up losing his job as the governor of that region. And so, in order to please the crowd, Pilate turned Jesus over to them to crucify the Son of God. He bent beneath the pressure of the crowd. Brother, I want you to understand, if you go to heaven, you will go to heaven swimming against the tide, against the current. You cannot go with the current and go to heaven. There will be pressure from the world to try to get you to make the wrong decision about Jesus Christ. But, oh my, Pilate counted the cost. He counted the cost of doing the right thing and decided that it would cost him too much to do the right thing. And so he condemned the Son of God to death. I wonder this morning, are you counting the cost? Are there souls on these pews this morning that you're counting the cost of doing the right thing? Turning your heart and life over to Jesus. Selling out to the Son of God. Following Jesus with all of your heart. Counting your life but lost that you may give it all to Jesus Christ. I wonder if there are souls on these pews counting the cost this morning. But what Pilate failed to do is he failed to count the cost of doing the wrong thing. And now then that he has condemned the Son of God and turned him over to the crowd, and he has sentenced Jesus to death. The primary consideration in Pilate's conclusion, his primary consideration was not for him, for Christ, but for himself. He's concerned about his own welfare, not the welfare of the Son of God. And so he condemned Jesus to death over considerations of his own welfare and his own benefit. And Jesus was crucified with the assent of Pilate, the man who knew that Jesus was innocent. I wonder this morning, what will you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? This man Pilate who went against his conscience, who turned Jesus over to the mob, eventually lost his job anyway, and faded from the pages of history. There are some who believe that Pilate wound up taking his own life. This man who was once in such great power, who had authority, who pronounced the sentence of the Son of God, wound up taking his own life. Brother, there is nothing but disaster at the end of the road for those who make the wrong decision about Jesus. Oh my, for those who make the right decision about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You got to understand that Jesus is worth more than anything in the world. That it doesn't matter what it costs you to believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter what it costs you to follow Jesus. It's going to cost you more if you don't. This is the thing we've got to consider. What it's going to cost us if we don't follow the Son of God. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible says, he that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for Jesus' sake and the gospel's shall find it. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. If you're willing to give up your life into the hands of God, God will save your life. But if you are holding on to your life, your consideration is for your own welfare, your own benefit. You're going to keep control of your life. You're not going to give God the control of your life. He said, in that case, you will lose it. And so we consider the cost of not giving our life to the Son of God. Oh, my brother, there are only two destinations for souls. You're either going to heaven when life is over with, or you're going to hell. There is no intermediate regions. I'm telling you, whenever you take the last breath and you are pronounced dead, you are either in heaven or in hell. And you will be in the regions of the damned if you fail to believe on Jesus forever. And if you believe on the Son of God, heaven will be your home forever. If we've ever made the right decision about Jesus, we need to make that decision now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother and sister, it's not enough just to decide, well, I'm going to go to church. You can go to hell off of church pews. But you've got to make a decision about Jesus Christ. You've got to make a decision to follow the Son of God, to believe on Him with all of your heart, and to make Him the center of your life, so that all of life revolves around the Son of God, and that your main ambition in life is to please Him. It doesn't matter what the world says, and what direction the world goes, and the kind of pressure they may put on you. And what matters is, am I pleasing to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And only when we reach that place can we make the right decision and decide to follow Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning, are you conflicted about Jesus Christ? Your conscience is telling you that Jesus is worthy of your trust. Your conscience is telling you that you ought to believe and trust in Jesus Christ and follow the Son of God and give up your life and give your life to Jesus this morning. And on the other hand, you're worried about what your friends will say. And you're worried that perhaps you might lose your job. And you're worried about what your wife may say or what your husband may say or what your neighbors will think about you if you begin to conform to biblical principles in your life. You're worried about the world. You're worried about the crowd. I'm telling you, you better follow your conscience and surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and you'll never be sorry. When you sell out to Jesus, you'll never be sorry that you gave Jesus your heart and your life. What is it in our lives that we would count more precious to us than Jesus, the Son of God? Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. How many people that have sold out Jesus for such a cheap price. In fact, when we get to the judgment, everybody that sells Jesus out is going to find out it was a cheap price. Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a lame slave on the slave market. He sold out the Son of God. That was a man that came to Jesus one day, rich young ruler, young man, wealthy, successful in life, but aware that there was something missing in his life. He came to Jesus running, knelt down at his feet and said, "What good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." A lot of people have taken that to say that Jesus denied that he was God. But it wasn't that Jesus was denying that he was God. He was denying that that young man was good. And this is the crucial thing. That young man thought he was good. And nobody will ever get saved until they realize you are not good. You are not righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus was saying in effect to that rich young ruler, if I am good, you call me good. I'm more than just a good master. I'm more than just a teacher. There's only one good, and that's God. If I'm good, I'm God. And you are not good. Oh, I've had sinners to tell me I'm a good person. I do this and I do that, but I'm a good person. They never come to the realization of the truth. As Paul said, I found out in me there is no good thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, keep the commandments. He wanted to know which ones. Jesus quoted the second table to him. He said, well, I've kept these from my youth up. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Boy, it'd be a sad thing to go through life and get to the judgment and hear God say, one thing you lack. One thing. He said, I want you to go and sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor and come follow me. And the Bible says that that rich young ruler turned and walked away sorrowful. The reason that he walked away sorrowful is he valued his riches over Christ. And you may say, boy, that's a radical thing that Jesus required him to do, to sell everything that he had in order to follow Jesus. But Jesus knew that what was keeping that young man from answering the call of God was his riches. That was what was standing in his way. And whatever is standing in your way has got to go this morning. If it's your wealth, if it's your friends, whatever it may be, whatever is standing in your way, it's got to go this morning. You've got to say goodbye to whatever keeps you from the Son of God. The one thing he lacked, listen to me now, the one thing he lacked was real, genuine faith in the Son of God that would cause him to love Jesus better than he loved his wealth. Now, many people think they're going to heaven with Jesus on the back burner of their life. Well, they've tacked him on. They make a pretension of being loyal to him. But Jesus is on the back burner of their life. He has no say in how they live their life. He has no say in where they go and where they don't go. He has no say in what they wear and what they don't wear. He has no say in how they conduct themselves in their family, on their job, in society. He's just on the back burner of their lives. They're planning on going to heaven with Jesus on the back burner of their life. But Jesus, if He cannot be your ruler, your Lord, He will not be your Savior. There's got to be a surrender in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus as the Lord, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But there's got to be that surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He can't just be on the back burner of your life. He's got to be the most important person in your life. This is what happened to the rich young ruler. He was not willing to make Jesus the most important person in his life. Oh my. Maybe I'm taking a little bit too long here this morning, but listen to me. That rich young ruler did not love Jesus, but Jesus loved him. The Bible says that Jesus, looking on him, loved him. That young ruler didn't know it, but in a few days, Jesus would be bleeding and dying on an old rugged cross for him, giving his life for that rich young ruler. And he gave his life for you too, every one of us. And he's worth selling out and giving all to Jesus. I wonder this morning if there's somebody in this building you're conflicted in your mind and in your heart about the Son of God. Get off the fence. Make up your mind that Jesus is worth more than anything in this world. And give Him your heart and your life this morning. And stop the conflict in your mind. Praise God. And in your heart. And let's serve Jesus with all of our heart. We're going to open these altars this morning. Would you stand with us? Maybe there are souls here this morning. You need Jesus. You know you need Jesus. You're going to make a judgment about the Son of God this morning. What will be your verdict about Jesus? What is He worth to you this morning? The one that loved you and gave Himself for you. What is Jesus worth to you this morning? Will you come and give Jesus your heart? Sell out to the Son of God. Settle the conflict in your mind and heart this morning. When you walk away from this place, you can walk away with the joy of the Lord in your soul because you've yielded, surrendered to Jesus Christ. While we wait just a few moments here, is there someone in this building